Or Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. Hey, I'm Dr. Lisa, and I give a shit. Thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, the greatest radio station in the whole world. I've checked. I've listened to all the stations. This is definitely the best. And you should stick around, because we're going to have a lot of fun today, since I am in such a good mood, because it's fucking warm out, huh? How long have we been waiting for this? It's finally warm out. Although it's freezing in a lot of offices, I know, because I was in one yesterday, and man, it was cold. So today is a very, very exciting day. I have a call-in guest and a live guest in the studio. I have Heather Lee Marvin, who is going to be performing tonight at The Well at our Radio Free Brooklyn Showcase, which is also a... Let me find this. Here it is. It's the on-air read. I'm just going to tell you this in my own words, okay? I don't want to torture anybody here. It's the RFB Presents Stone Giant EP release show at The Well with Crowd, the Airwaves, and Trip. And I mean, in all honesty, I go to almost every single one of these shows, and they're really, really great. And shout out to Matt and Rob, who curate this shit and know like the local band scene really, really well. So this is like, you know, you're not going to have this opportunity again. So, well, you might next month, but it's not going to be these bands. So get there at 8, okay? And it's at The Well, 272 Mesereau Street. Get your tickets right now, because they're $8 and you're going to have to spend 10 if you get there. But before we get into that, I mean, I just want to make a connection with you. So I just thought I'd tell you about what's going on in my life a little bit. So I'm going to my stepson's wedding, like the 19th. That's coming up, and we're leaving like next week. So I've been thinking about it, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal. He's 29. He's marrying easily the love of his life. They moved to Denver. They bought a house. And here's what I learned from my stepson's relationship with his fiance. Here's what I learned. I learned that they make the relationship a priority, okay? And that's why it's so good. And I think like his father, my husband, and I struggle more because we're both a piece of work. That's one reason. But the other reason is that we love our art. We love our art. Well, we love him, but we love our stepson, but we also love our art, and that gets into our, that's a daily thing that takes over our lives. So I think that we personally are always fighting for our time, for our own art, and then also for each other, and then also to put time into each other's work. So I think like it's just harder if you wanna make your art, or you both have really separate interests. It could be the same, like if, you know, let's say my stepson loved golf, and my my daughter-in-law to be sister. That's a Freudian slip. Almost sister-in-law. I wish. I'm so much older than her. But anyway, my daughter-in-law to be says she loved antiquing more than any, you know, like almost as much as she loved my stepson. Well, then, you know, and he didn't like it. Like if you have two separate activities that you're passionate about, it's going to be harder. It's going to be, even if it's art making, if you're not making the same exact art, and even if you are, then, you know, if like you're in a band together, right, Heather? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You get what I'm saying. And then before we really get into Heather, but before I start messing around in Heather Lee Marvin's head, I want to bring your attention to an art opening tomorrow night that I am so excited about. You know, I show mostly with this gallery, Art During the Occupation, which is a product of Christopher Stout, who I thought of how I was going to talk about him today. He's an artist enabler. He's a great artist himself, but he also has this way of working with artists that is nothing like I've ever seen, where he really encourages people, artists, to bring what the essence of whatever it is they're doing, I think. Or that's what happened with me. So Chris Boers, I think this is his first solo show there. And I'm really, really proud to have any kind of formal connection with him. And I have him, he said he would call in when I told him to. So Chris, will you call in? Oh no, I'm going to have to use all this technology here. Chris?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, look at this. I made it work. Yeah, how you doing?
Great, I'm doing good.
Did you hear that little preamble about Christopher Stout? What's your thought? Do you think of Christopher that way? What was your experience with him working on the opening?
Totally. I think, studio visits can always be a really weird sort of process with, especially with people that have galleries, dealers, and other artists sometimes, but usually with dealers, there's like something different going on because, mm-hmm. of course, there's always like the sales aspect, mm-hmm. or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But he was really encouraging. I mean, we met several times.
Mm.
We met like over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working on this for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, I think maybe 4 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, he came over again, and he was just super encouraging.
I know.
Which is what I needed.
Sort yeah, of
like
right?
Nurturing, like you're on the right track.
Right.
And yeah, but even in the beginning, he really helped, I think, sort of make me realize, that I needed to sort of, I mean, I'm always very focused, but
mm-hmm.
he helped me in a collaborative way as another artist to try to sort of, kind of make everything make sense, because I do deal with a couple different types of imagery and
right.
paintings, and he really was a big help.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, I pulled this quote out of your bio. One term that you use to describe your work is virtual dumpster diving, which I love that, which kind
Thanks.
Of goes with what you were just saying. But tell us just a little bit about what the show's going to be, what your show is about. And Chris Boers is a real deal, folks. I mean, like, you should really see this show. But anyway, tell us just a little bit about what you're going to be doing, what you're show is about,
yeah.
And then you know what I'm saying. I'm also trying to
yeah.
find the information
yeah.
about the show, so go ahead.
So the show opens Friday, this Friday, May 4th, and it continues until May 27th at Art During the Occupation Gallery. You can go to their website, 119 Ingraham Street in Bushwick. The opening is 7 to 9:30 Friday night. But basically, I've been working, and first of all, I wanted to say that I wanted to note that on this National Day of Prayer, let us pray that our nation is on God's side. That is a quote from Fox News. So I thought it was a perfect... The title
right.
of the show is American Jesus,
mm-hmm.
which is a Bad Religion song from quite a while ago, but it's obviously still totally relevant today in our current political climate. So the work definitely deals with our current political climate. It also deals with... like you said, virtual dumpster diving, which is where I just like grab images from anywhere online or what have you. Some of them are actually things that I've had since high school, like
wow.
an old Xerox of Mickey Mouse giving the middle finger. I've had that for like 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like carrying it around with me since mm-hmm. I was 15 or whatever. Trash culture, personal obsessions. So it's sort of like a post-pop mashup of images.
Right.
And also I use logos from hardcore punk bands.
Mm-hmm.
And I use this template in many of them from paint with water activity books for children, where the paint was actually embedded onto the paper, mm-hmm. and then the child could use a watercolor brush and sort of dip it in and then go into the black and white imagery. So a lot of that, I sort of copy the style of those activity books in a lot of my work.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, the content is not for children, but...
Well, you know what I want to say to all you non-art people out there? This stuff is really fun and really fun to look at. And it involves like music and popular culture. And it's also really smart, but it doesn't have to be. If you just,
yeah,
you know, which is what I personally love about it, is that it's honestly a really enjoyable show. And I just want everybody to know that they should come by tomorrow night between... what is it? 7 to 9:30, and it's 119 Ingraham Street, and it's really near the Morgan L stop. A lot of people don't like look it up, but it's really, really close, and it's really safe to walk there. So I just want you guys to know that this is going to be like a really, you know, like a special evening, and it will be up through when? 27th, May 27th. That's not a lot of time, but enough time if you don't make it to the opening. And then, Chris, you're going to be on my radio show on the 19th, right? Is that the date?
I think on the 24th.
24th. Okay. I've had a rough week. The 24th. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. But anyway, so we'll get more into depth on it then. But
I can't wait.
I just want, yeah, I mean, so it's going to be a really, really great night. And I also want you to know that this is the kind of work that you're not going to see like at a big dumb gallery. It's real art. It's not just... You know, it's the real deal. Okay, so we did
that,
and I'm looking forward to seeing the show, and I'm really excited that you're part of, you know, Christopher Stout's endeavors. I really am.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, good.
I also just wanted to mention quickly that a lot of Bushwick galleries are going to be open late tomorrow night because of the Freeze Art Fair weekend. So, yeah, just make a night of it, and hopefully people can stop by.
It's going to be a big night. I'll post it on my Facebook page.
Cool.
Also. So, okay. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. So that's Chris Boers. And there's a lot of like stuff happening because there's all this stuff happening tomorrow night. But tonight, Heather Lee Marvin, who's right sitting in front of me,
Hi.
Is going to be playing. How are you feeling about you? You're going to be playing in like several hours. How are you feeling about it?
Excited. Always excited to play. Always looking forward to sharing music with the wonderful folks of New York City.
Yeah. You're not like...
Nervous?
Oh, no. Are you nervous at all? No.
No.
Because you're a professional.
Well, you know, one of the... quirky things about myself, people probably think I'm a little bit crazy after this, but whatever. One of the ways that I've gotten over my stage fright is sometimes when I'm walking by myself down the street and I like, you know, I don't want to be bothered or anything, I'll put on a song that I like and I'll start singing it out loud and people will give me the weirdest stares as I walk down the street and do this. But it helped me get over my stage fright, because if you could sing right in somebody's face walking next to you on the street, you could sing to a crowd of people.
Oh, that's a really good tip, folks. I'm going to try that, except I'll get all these people be mad at me because I don't sound very... Don't try that at home unless you're trained. How's that?
All right, fair.
So I want to... what I want to do is I want to play you some of Heather's music so you can hear it, but before I want to do that, I want to get to know her a little because I just met her. She was running a little late, which is totally cool. So I haven't gotten to spend a lot of, you know, normally I try to like really dig into the guests and like, you know, extract truths from them before they get on air. But I haven't had that much time with Heather, but which is totally cool because I get a great vibe off of her.
I'm an enigma.
Yeah. No, not... Well, we'll see about that.
I'm not...
So here's the thing. Here's what I know about Heather, okay? Heather is a classically trained opera singer. She's 26 years old. She's bisexual. She currently has a boyfriend, and she's from Queens. And that's what I kind of know. She has a very open, fun vibe. Not, you know, there are for like a female, like, you know, she's the, you're the lead, what do you, front woman. She's a front woman band, but like sort of a, seems like she has a big personality, but at the same time, like a little bit low key, like no glitter eyeshadow at all. None.
Not, I'm not channeling Bowie today.
Well, you know, so that's my impression of her. But I want to get to play you her first, you know, the song that we want to play, which is an important song because it's a new song, blah, blah, blah. So tell us about your music and then we'll tell us a little bit about the song and then we'll play a song.
Sure. So I am in a band called Crowd the Airwaves, also often misspelt. People think airways like radio waves, like
really?
it gets mixed up so many times, but it's Crowd the Airwaves. And we are like a 5-year-old band come August.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And she's only 26. Wow.
It's crazy. I can't believe how long we've been a band.
Second album.
It was actually our third. So we, our first EP was Devil May Care. And then we released, a year ago, All the Things We Don't Say. And then we recently released, our newest single, Roots, which has the most current lineup of the band. It is myself on bass and lead vocals, Christina Elliott on guitar, backup vocals / lead vocals, and then Liz Hudman on drums and drum kit. And it was a lot of fun to record. I'll give a shout out to If and Only If Productions. Brandon, we worked with him. He's an amazing producer. We couldn't have asked for a better guy and a better collaborator for this single that we were going to put out. And, you know, we were just so excited to release it. We've had a really good reaction to Roots in general. We released it as a free single. People are still buying it off of Bandcamp, which is like crazy. And there's some people are spending like $10 on a single song. It was just, I was just totally floored by that and floored by the support. I think we all were, you know. Mm-hmm. And Christina put a lot of work. She's our in-house artist.
Okay, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna describe your music. I'm gonna describe your music because I have it right here in front of me. And I'm worried about time, folks, because I think this woman's interesting. And she's also generous. She's gonna wind up telling you how great her band is. And we will come to the show. We will know that she loves her band. Thank you, Heather Lee Marvin. Martin.
So, Marvin.
Marvin. Oh, Jesus. All right. Anyway, so here's what I got out of this. And I think this is a really good... the band is a roller coaster without even trying to be one, which is a really charming quality to have. This is written about her band. And it's it also has, it's like The Runaways and Foo Fighters garnished with a lime of the catchy pop rock of Fleetwood Mac. See, I think it's a really important point because this is a really hard driving rock band, but it's very listenable, but in a way that is hard to, you know, which isn't always common. Does that make sense to you, Heather?
Yeah.
Marvin.
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed is sometimes in rock music, the vocals get a little bit neglected. And one of the things that we really focus on as a band is our harmonies. That's one of our biggest driving points.
See, and that's important.
And as an opera singer, you know, it's really important to me in the music that the vocals come through and really shine and shimmer. And Christina, who had like never sung before this, she's a trained violist. You know, she hadn't sung live before this, and it was like a whole new world and animal.
This is really interesting because, you know, you're talking about your bandmates. We're going to have to psychoanalyze this. I'm just kidding. I'm sort of kidding. But I want you to talk about this song that we're going to play. It's called Roots, the title song from the album.
Yes.
And I wanted to hear, because that song has something to do with your boyfriend, you said, right?
It did. So there's the whole thing about Roots is it stemmed from a place of feeling stuck and knowing that there's certain things about yourself that you can't really change, but that you've pushed down to make a relationship work, and you're not communicating that it's actually hurting you and it's actually not making you happy. And I wrote this song before I approached my partner about these feelings that I was grappling with.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it in my head that he was going to totally break up with me, that was it. It was like, because, I haven't been super lucky in the romantic world, I'll be the first to admit that I have a level of abandonment issues.
Okay.
But, he really came through for me, and we talked about it, and we had such great conversation. But the reason why I picked Roots is because, when you think about roots, you think about something that's firmly placed in the ground. Mm. It's dug deep into the earth, and it can't be easily removed,
Yeah.
Because if you leave the roots of a tree, when you cut down the tree is just going to grow back.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the whole chorus really depicts that imagery. And the final line in it, actually, I'll give my friend Christy a shout out. She inspired me for this line, because she said to me, she's like, I feel like I'm a phoenix in mid-burn.
Wow.
And I was like, that's such a good line. I was like, Christy, do you mind if I modify and borrow that? And she was like, no, go right ahead. So the chorus line, the chorus ended up being, there are deep roots in my soul and I'm trying to change them. A chameleon in my own home, a phoenix over fire, slow roasting.
Mm-hmm.
So that I felt depicted best, like that feeling of churning in place.
I love it. I mean, that's really, expressive, for God's sakes. How long you guys been together?
Christina and I have been together.
No, you and your partner.
Oh, I thought you meant the band. Sorry. Damien and I have been together for 6 years.
Wow. And so this is fairly recent, this whole thing?
It was 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, it took a while. It takes a while to work this shit out. Commitment. You know, commitment. Stick through it. So we're going to play the song.
Sure.
Right now. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Yep. I'm really... You're welcome. That was great.
Oh, it's more?
Oh, there's more?
Yes.
Sorry. Whoa. You know, I'm so worried about the tech and getting the like fading it down. I thought I was going to do it fancy, but that's beautiful, amazing music.
Thank you.
Really sounds good. I mean, it sounds amazing. How did that feel? But it sound, are you, you're going to be playing that tonight, right?
Yes.
Are
yes.
You like,
I'm not going to tell you when, but we're going to be playing.
Your band goes on at 9:30 though.
Yes.
Okay.
We go on at 9:30.
Okay. So we need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we wanted to let's do our station ID because it's that time, and then we'll just get really digging into your head. Okay.
Oh, gee. Okay. Yeah. I'm prepared.
I think you are. I think you're ready for this. So what I want to do is remind you that you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and I'm with this amazing talent, Heather Lee Marvin of Crowd the Airwaves. And Crowd the Airwaves is playing tonight at a Radio Free Brooklyn showcase at The Well at 9:30. She's on at 9:30, or her band, Crowd the Air, but it starts at 8. There's three bands, and it's also going to be the Stone Giant EP release show, all put together by Radio Free Brooklyn Presents. So you guys should come and see that. And I also want to, you know, there's something else that's gone that we really I think is a really great thing that I've gotten really into myself lately is our mobile app. Because if you download your mobile app on the phone, you download our mobile app, you can have like all the rate. It's like getting 80 radio shows all at the same time. And we have such a large variety of shows, all different kinds of music and talk and comedy and all that. And it's sort of like having us as a group, as your friend, like right there with you. Because our vibe is, you know, consistent in that we're like the most open-minded group of people you could possibly, that I personally have ever run into. And I haven't been to Burning Man, but I think it's still pretty cool group. People. So just go to radiofreebrooklyn.org iPhone for the iOS app, or go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android for the Android app. So let's get back to Heather Lee Marvin. What is your name Heather Lee? Do people call you Heather Lee?
No, it's just Heather. Lee's a middle name. My parents thought it would be funny because my actual cousin is the actor Lee Marvin.
Really?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I swear I'm not.
So like how are you related?
He was my cousin.
But like your parents, your father's his father's brother, or what?
Well, it was like
you're like half his age or a third of his age, or what? Isn't he old?
Yeah, he died.
Yeah.
He's like he's been passed, but on my it was on my father's side. My father's father, my grandfather's side of the family, it goes like back to that. I don't know the specifics. I'm just quoting what I was told.
So you have show business in your background?
Yes.
So what did your parents do?
Well, my parents thought it would be funny if they named me Heather Lee Marvin.
Right,
because right. Lee Marvin. So right. They thought it would be a little.
No, but what did they do? Like, what did they do for a living? You grew up in Queens.
Yes.
Did you live in Queens your whole life?
I've lived in Queens my whole life.
Brothers, sisters?
Nope, I'm the only child.
An only child. Woo.
Yeah. For both of them.
Are they still married?
No, they were divorced. My mother actually, unfortunately, recently passed away.
Oh, I'm really sorry. Wow.
Yeah.
You're young to have had to manage that.
It's been great for creativity. Been terrible for my psyche.
How soon is it been?
January 6th, 2018, right at the beginning of the year. So it was really rough.
I'm sorry. Was she sick for a while?
She had been, and she was recovering from heart surgery, and you know, I had to go pick up my bass from her house, and unfortunately
you found her.
Yeah. And I was on my way to a show. Like, we had to cancel the show.
Yeah.
For like, and like the next show that we had scheduled out in Philly at the Fire for Women Crush Wednesday that they have out there.
Uh-huh.
And we had to cancel both those shows because I was a total wreck. Oh. I had just started my job at Neiman Marcus, and they were really great, really amazing people. I cannot tell you, like, I honestly was very grateful for my bosses. They let me take the time off that I needed, and they didn't give me any crap about it. Good. And they were very welcoming when I came back to work. So I'm just grateful I had a really great support team throughout this whole time. My band has been super supportive. My partner's been super supportive. I have wonderful, amazing, beautiful friends and extended family and, you know, actual family that's just been so amazing. People coming out of the woodwork that you just don't expect. And it's been an uphill climb since she passed, but, you know, I'm working through it. I'm trying my best to process it.
Well, I would say from the way that you're able to talk about it so frankly and directly, that it just really seems like you, I bet you have fostered a really good support system on your own by being a good friend and being a good, you know, good person to be around. And it was there when you needed it. That's because I bet you that's what's really made a difference.
Music really helped me through. It really helped me through because I grew up in a home with, you know, even though my parents were separated and divorced, they were still like best friends.
Oh, nice.
And they had a really great, like, working relationship when it came to me.
Oh, good.
You know, not everything was perfect, but no family's perfect. And you just have to accept that one way or another. But like, I always grew up around art and music. That was really important because my father is an architect by trade. He's a construction specifications writer, and he's working out in Washington State right now, doing really awesome work. He's working on making new schools, and I'm super proud of him. And I couldn't be a prouder daughter. Mm-hmm. And my mother was a pistol. She was one of the first women in the, you know, car industry. She was a manager at Hertz. She had her own car transportation service.
Wow.
She was really, but she also was an artist by trade. She was a hand weaver. She worked with clay a lot. She drew, she painted, she was a photographer. My mother was an artist to the umpteenth degree.
Wow.
And there was always art hanging throughout our entire house and music playing. My mother couldn't sing a lick. Not a lick, but she still sang along to music anyway. And she turned me on to the Beatles and Fleetwood Mac. But the thing that I always remember from my childhood is James Taylor, Gorilla, the tape, and playing that in her car and singing Lighthouse. Like that, listening to that album on Spotify. Like, I was listening to it on repeat when she passed away, and it really helped. Music is truly healing. Music is love, and I really believe in the power that it has on the human psyche. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I feel that way, like, about art. I mean, everybody that has something that connects them, because you're connected to the universe in a way that's way bigger than you and way older than you and way eternal from the past and eternal in the future, right?
Absolutely.
And
music's always been around.
Yeah, and also, I mean, music is more insidious, is the most insidious form of art, which is why it really does bring people together, probably more than any other art form, I think. I mean, that's common knowledge, I guess.
I mean, the power of music and art therapy. I don't know if you've seen any of the research on that, but music has been being used in work with people who have dementia and Alzheimer's. Mm. And the progress that they've been making is out of this world amazing. Mm. Like, there was a special that I saw not too long
ago.
No,
we're talking about you. I'm bringing this back to you. I'm bringing this back to you, honey. This is interesting. Does this happen to you a lot?
I
what do you think that is? Are you deflecting? I think you're deflecting.
No, no, not at
Are
all.
Are you afraid of, like, you're going to be
I just have ADHD, hon. My attention span is that of a hyperactive mayfly.
Wow. Well, because, you know, one of the things that you had mentioned, we did get a, I did get to hear a little bit about before we got on air, is that you started out in opera, that you were going to be, how did you get into opera?
So I got into opera. I had already been listening to classical music. My dad would play Mozart around the apartment whenever I would visit him, along with grunge, but he had a variety of tastes. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I got into it in high school because, my middle school and my high school and my college, I went to music specific schools. For middle school, I went to Louis Armstrong Middle School because they had an extensive music program and all these other really cool extracurricular activities.
So you were talented in music. How did you find out you were talented in music?
I just loved singing. I loved singing and I loved drawing and I loved writing. I just was
very
into
the arts. Did you know you had a good voice? Was it like one of those things that everybody go like, oh, you have such a good voice?
I had a lot of people do say that until middle school where I got bullied relentlessly. Oh God, it was terrible.
So what happened there?
Well, you know, it took a few tries for me to find my way, and then I started taking voice lessons in eighth grade, and then I went and I did the my eighth grade talent show, and I sang a cappella, you know, with no accompaniment or anything, and the room, for once, there was no boos, there were just cheers, and no one had shit to say about me or my singing after that. Everybody shut the fuck up finally and left me the fuck alone about that. You know, they bothered me about other things because that's how kids are. They're terrible and cruel. But
that must have been a huge moment for you.
It was like a real sense of accomplishment for me to be like, wow, I sounded good, and to feel really confident in my own musical ability.
Wow.
And, you know, I auditioned for Frank Sinatra School of the Arts, which is where I went to high school, and that was my first choice. Uh-huh. And I remember auditioning for the acting department and the vocal department, and I came in for my acting audition, and Heidi Best, Miss Best, she comes up to me, and she's like, I just want to let you know, I don't normally do this. She was the head of the vocal department. She goes, I normally don't do this, but I just want to let you know you're in. And I hope you pick our studio. And I was just like, oh my God. Wow. That was an amazing feeling. So I got into the school, and the first thing that they have you do is they have you take a vocal rep class because, you know, they want to teach you the basics of technique. They want to teach you your standards, not only in musical theater, but also in opera. Opera's singing opera trains you to sing pretty much anything else you could possibly want to.
Right.
The technique that you learn through opera is so important. And it's a thing that I've noticed that a lot of vocalists kind of struggle with is like, you know, people think that anybody can sing. And you know what? That may be true, but not many people can sing well.
Meaning like properly.
Yes. Not many people can really sing. You
It's they don't have the training that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's another thing. It's a whole other thing when you want to take on something like that professionally. And if you want to, you'll be able to sing forever if you use the right technique. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I see it very often. People don't use good technique.
Especially in the rock music business.
Yeah,
right?
And by the time that they're 40, they've blown out their voices.
Mm.
So it really goes to show. I mean, like Pavarotti was singing until he passed. You know, Maria Callas was singing until she passed.
So did you imagine being were you devoted to opera? Were you like, I want to do this, I love opera?
I never was really like super like, oh my God, I love opera. I really loved musical theater. But when I started singing opera in high school, I realized, holy shit, I'm really good at this.
Ah.
And anything I auditioned for in the opera department of the school, I got.
Wow.
I was like their star mezzo-soprano.
Wow.
From my year. And like, I'm not saying that there weren't other talented mezzos.
No, but
like, when it came...
You had flashing green light.
Yeah, but when it came to the opera department, that was my shit. I really, really worked hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People would compliment me and I'd say I could do better. I was like super determined to.
So you worked really hard. Let's put that out there.
Yeah,
right? Were you driven about this?
I was driven to be like the best vocalist that I could be.
Because you knew you could be.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, I didn't have it in my mind to even pick up another instrument because I solely wanted to do singing. I really wanted to focus in on that. And I loved musical theater. I was also a part of the musical theater department.
Mm-hmm.
I had a role in the musical in my final year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just an amazing school to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I had so many performance opportunities.
Yeah. So what happened? Did you pursue that in college? Did you pursue?
I did.
Isn't opera thought of as a dorky thing?
No, not really, not at musical school. No, it's not thought of as a dorky thing. It's just that a lot of people assume that it's high art that's not relatable or doesn't have stories that's relatable and that you need to be rich and fancy to go to the opera.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with the industry. And frankly, that's why I left, because there is that mentality surrounding.
Really?
Yes.
What happened? What was it like did you study opera in college?
Yes.
Was that like?
Terrible. It was one of the most miserable experiences of my life. I have never met so many damn snobs
really?
In my entire life. Like,
really?
There is a very specific way that things are done in opera these days, and it's like the way that it's always been. And if you can't do this, then you're somehow less of a vocalist because you learn how to do your part in a different way, or you process things in a different way. I'm a hands-on learner, and they were teaching from a damn textbook, and I couldn't wrap my mind around it for the longest time. It was so frustrating. Plus, I was going through a lot of personal bullshit throughout
like
college.
What?
Like, oh
boys,
God,
girls,
boys, girls. Both of them.
You've dated more boys than girls, I bet.
I've dated a lot of boys, but boys are just... But I've only dated more boys because, you know, they're easy. You go up to a guy and you go, hey, I want to fuck. And they're like, yeah, girls, you know, I have more respect for women. You know, I don't... I
girls are more... They're more demanding.
I wouldn't say that they're more demanding.
Really?
I would say that women deserve more.
Wow.
I honestly feel they deserve more of my time, more of my dedication, more of my focus than men do sometimes, because men have this entitlement thing that comes across. And when I was young, you know, like I was not as wise about it as I am like now. And
as
I see it.
Old at 26. Yeah.
Yeah, at 26, like 19-year-old Heather let's text boys because I'm bored, you know, but like. 26-year-old Heather is like, that's kind of stupid. And most boys are kind of just boys and not men, just like how there are a lot of girls and not women.
So you were going through a lot with your boyfriend in college?
It wasn't just him. It was also the fact that I was struggling. I was in my first band ever, and that wasn't going so well. I got along with like one of the members and that was it, but I got ragged on, like band hazing to the extreme. It was so bad.
They sound mean.
They were mean. They were kind of mean.
So you were in a band and you were studying opera and you had a boyfriend.
And I was having friend drama too. Like I was just a hot mess.
It was just too much stuff.
It was just too much stuff all at once, and I was a hot mess. And looking back on it, I was not ready to go to college. I should have probably taken a year off, dicked around, and then gone to college.
But it also sounds like the opera people are, you know, the thing about
they're not forgiving.
Well, the thing about rock about what you know, I'm not a musician by any means, but I mean the sense I get of being a rock musician, and certainly this is one good thing I can say certainly about the art world, is that it's a creative process where you use your instincts, and that's what comes first. And people aren't going to evaluate you on the technique or the way you do it or the way you learn it. And it sounds like opera's kind of self-harming that way, isn't it? Because did you see my reaction? It was like a really boring, uptight, nerdy thing, because they have such a nerdy idea about What you're saying to me is they have a nerdy idea on
about
teaching.
What music is and how they want to teach it. It's very much a box. They want to put you in a box of permission.
Do you hear this, opera people? You got to lighten up. Do you think opera's going like?
They have this certain imagery of themselves that there's these posh, fancy people who fucking drink wine at night and like think that they're some shit. And it's like, meanwhile, you bought the Chateau Diane from your bodega and you're living in a box. No, please don't act like you're fancy just because you sing opera. Please get over yourself.
Do you think, I think opera's going out of style, right? Is the audience
not in Europe. Not in Europe.
Really?
If you want a career in opera, you need to like go to Europe.
Oh, so it's thriving in Europe?
Absolutely.
But it's not thriving here.
No, because there's really no funding for it. Okay, so let me break down the scam that is becoming an opera singer.
No, I want to hear about you.
Well, I mean, this is why I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
you can't
ahead.
Make money being an opera singer, or it's very, 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 very hard. Mm-hmm. You either get a church gig or you're going for so many auditions that might, first of all, you have to pay an application fee to even audition.
What?
Then you're not even guaranteed the audition. But if you pass that and you have to go to your audition and say you have to fly out, guess who's paying for your ticket? Not them.
That's horrible.
Yeah. It's wow. Things like that. They take advantage of people's dreams and love and passion for the music.
Oh, man.
Too often in this country. And I really do have an issue with that. And I take personal offense because the people who study opera, my colleagues, the fellow students, they loved what they did. And the unfortunate thing about that world is they don't teach you how to market yourself. They don't teach you how to make this your business. They don't teach you about quarterly taxes that you're going to need to file as a freelance artist. They don't talk about any of that stuff. They don't teach any of that stuff. And if they do, they certainly did not at my school.
Well, yeah.
And that's a big complaint that I had. And when it wasn't until I transferred over to media studies and I started Crowd the Airwaves that I finally felt like I had a level of autonomy back in my life because I finally had control over the product that I was putting out. I was singing music that I cared about. I wasn't just singing to be perfect. I was singing to express again. And that's so important these days, like because it's.
Well, it's so important to everybody who's making anything. It's kind of the reward, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's also so important these days that you don't feel stifled and put in a box. Because right now we have a world that is trying to just...
Yeah.
You know what? It was put to me in a really great way. I saw this line on a TV show and it was great. People are seeking affirmation, not information. And it's a problem. It's such a problem.
That's well put. So do you think that being in opera, like, did that have an effect on your self-esteem at the time? Doesn't it affect everybody who's studying opera's self-esteem?
Not when I was in high school. When I was in high school, I felt really good about what I was doing. I felt really good and rewarded for the hard work that I put in. And I felt like opera betrayed me. You know, I felt very betrayed by them because the moment that I wasn't perfect, the moment that I did mess up, they never forgot and they never let me live it down and they never, never gave me a chance to prove myself again. It was like, and whenever they did give me a chance to prove myself again, I just felt like a ploy because they wanted more of my money because college can be a scam sometimes.
Yeah. So but were you really upset? Like,
I was disappointed.
Did it take like a moment, like some particular incident to say like, that's it, I'm not doing it anymore?
Yeah. So I was 5 years into my program.
Wow.
And I like was having trouble with this one class and I just couldn't pass it. And
what was the class?
It was sight singing and dictation. The sight singing part of it, I nailed. But dictation is when you listen to a piece of music
and you write it.
And you have to write it down exactly. And I was having a really hard time with that because I don't have perfect pitch. I have relative pitch. And I took this class three times. It was maddening. And they wanted me to retake it again when I failed again. And I just was like, I'm sitting in the office for registration. And at this point, Crowd the Airwaves is like, I think, 2 or 3 years old. And no, 2 years old. And I'm sitting with the professor and he's also going to put me in this theory class with this woman professor who would, I heard horror stories, she would put bibs on her students so that they couldn't see their hands when they played the piano and the keyboard part of her class. And the first words out of my mouth, I shit you not, Lisa, were, please don't put me in the class with that she demon. And he looked at me and he goes, you know, I don't appreciate the way you referred to her. And I'm like, well, then maybe you should tell your colleague to not be such a bitch to her students.
Good
because
for you.
That's all I've heard. And I don't want her to be my
Good
teacher.
For you.
And he's like, well, that's the only space available. And I was just like, meh. And I, you know, I left that appointment and I was like, fuck this. Fuck this. I'm just going to go and transfer over to media studies. I finished all my other requirements for everything else. I have enough credits to get this music theory minor at the very least.
Right.
And media studies I can finish in 2 years. Fuck this. I'm out of this program. And let me tell you, I learned more about being a working musician in the media studies department at Queens College than I did from their damn music program.
Yeah.
It's a fucking joke. The only good thing about Aaron Copland that I ever got out of it were some of the friends that I made from there and my voice teacher, Roswell. Oh, my God. Uh-huh. Heidi Roswell is a godsend to every vocalist.
So, you know, you're a really good advocate for yourself, aren't you?
I don't take anybody's shit.
And you must have gotten that from your, I bet you got that from your mom.
Yeah, she was a tough old broad.
So did you have supportive family? I mean, was she supportive or where'd you get that?
She had her moments where she was really difficult to love. I'll admit that.
Like, what do you mean?
She'd be very critical. She was because I was the only child and, you know, I was her baby. Mm-hmm. And she used to call herself the mama bear and I was her cub. And anybody who fucked with her cub, she'd like rip through. But she made it kind of hard sometimes to make my own decisions because, she just wanted the best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw my decisions before I was, she saw the mistakes that I was going to make before I even saw them.
Right. Yeah.
But instead of just letting me make them and learn from them, she tried so hard to prevent them.
And
it ended up just being a little bit stifling and overbearing sometimes.
Right.
But looking back on that now as a 26-year-old adult, it's like, oh, okay. I see what you were trying to do.
You've forgiven. You've integrated.
It's in the past.
You seem like you're really happy where you are right now in your life. It seems, I mean, I'm sorry about your mother. I mean, that's horrible. But besides that, which is a circumstance, as far as like, you know, what you've made happen with your band and everything else is your and your partner, your boyfriend. Do you feel good about those things?
I do. I really do. And, you know, I believe that Crowd the Airwaves has the potential to really take it to the next level. I believe in our music. I believe in my partners. I work with two of the best women in New York City, of that I am sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it comes to the man I am with right now, I am probably with like the man I am going to marry. Like,
holy shit.
Yeah, I know. I said that on air. Ah, I know. You never heard of it. A rock star that actually wants to get married or a rock singer that wants to get married.
Well,
because we all have to live unconventional lifestyles.
No,
but it's actually more common than you think.
It's really common. You appreciate him. And
I do.
And is he a musician as well?
He played the clarinet in high school.
That's sad.
But no, actually, he's not a musician, but he is he's artistic in his own way.
What does he do?
He's a historian.
Wow, that's interesting.
He really, like, I mean, he has a degree in history. Right now, he works at the Metropolitan Museum of Art as a security guard.
Wow.
I know.
So what is his focus? What part of history?
Ancient history. He's really focused on Rome and the Byzantines in particular. That seems to really have taken his interest right now. He actually is currently collecting Venetian glass, like the glass beads that they used to trade. He has he has like a bunch of those beads that he collects, and then he's also collecting old Roman coins.
Fascinating.
From like the five good emperors. So he's got Hadrian. That's the only one I remember.
Well, how old are they? Like thousands of years?
Thousands of years old.
Are they a lot of money? Is he spending all? He's a gambler.
No. There's actually a website, ancient coins forum or something.com, and like he can get these things on layaway and chip away at them for a time. So don't worry, we're not bankrupt from his coin habits.
Oh, good, good. Because I wouldn't want you to be with a coin addict. So you know what, Heather? I wish that we could have you on like for like another hour, because we could easily fill this, but I want to make sure that we get to play one more of your songs, and we're like out of time. Can you believe how fast that went?
Yeah, I know.
So,
wow.
I know. It's time I'm flies when you're having fun. We've got to get you back here. We'll get you back.
Absolutely.
In the next, you got to stay in touch and we'll get you back. So anyway, I just want to remind everybody, thank you for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Free Brooklyn. Please join us at the Well tonight. All the information is on my Facebook page, and please reach out to me. It's at Dr. Lisa Levy SP Facebook and Instagram. Okay, so which song should we play, Harsh Lines or The Truth?
I say The Truth because it's the faster song. Okay. And we released a music video for this not too long ago.
Oh, great. Maybe we'll post that too. Here you go. Thanks for listening. Here is The Truth. Let's see if I can make this work. Okay. There we go.
All right.
You go back to him every time. You'd still go if he skinned you alive. It's like you can't bear to be alone.
Thank you so much.